Now let's turn to John chapter 17. John 17, separation in the New Testament. A whole lot of teaching on separation also in the New Testament. Turn to John chapter 17. John 17, verse 14 to 17. All right, let's read responsively, verse 14 to verse 17. John chapter 17, verse 14 to 17. I have given them thy word, Jesus speaking, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Verse 15.
I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil.
They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth, thy word is truth. Right here, Jesus teaches a separation. Although we are in the world, we are not of the world. Right? We don't belong to the world. We don't behave like the world. We don't think. Right? We don't talk. We don't dress like the world. And this phrase, "they are not of the world," occurs twice over here, not once, but twice. Once in verse 14, "they are not of the world." And then again in verse 16, "they are not of the world." Just as Jesus says here, "even as I am not of the world." So how to be separated, right? How to live a separated life, different from the world? You just study the life of Christ, and you'll learn from the Lord's example. So many things in the gospel can learn about separation, but we don't have time to cover everything in the New Testament or even in the gospels. But I think this passage, just bear in mind what Jesus said, you are not of the world. You must be separated from the world. And how to be separated from the world? To be separated from the world, you must be sanctified. Right? Here in verse 17, sanctify. Sanctify them. The word sanctify means what? The word sanctify means to be made holy. Right? To make holy. Or to be made holy by God and by His word. Sanctify them by thy truth. Thy word is truth. So if you want to be separated from the world, one way is what? Know more and more of God's word. Right? Obey more and more God's word. The more you know, the more you obey and practice God's word, and the more you see yourself, right, separate from the world. More and more different from the world. More and more your sin does not take control over you. Right? You will desire more and more of the things of God, less and less of the things of the world. And it's something you will feel, you will experience, whether consciously or unconsciously. And this was my experience in the past when I was a young Christian. You know, I used to like to go to the movies, right, to the cinemas. When I was a young man or a youth, right, just like in your age, I was a Christian, I was a believer. I used to go to the cinemas. But then the more I went, right, the more miserable I felt, because each time I go in, I come out, you know, I felt miserable because I was watching, right, things that were sinful, right, not according to the Bible. And then many a time the actors, right, in the movie, they use God's name in vain. They use the name of Christ in vain. Sort of as a swear word. And I'm a Christian. And God's word is used in such an unholy manner. So when I came out, I always feel very, very miserable. But then, you know, the sin nature in us, there's a struggle. Sometimes, you know, you are so seduced by, you know, the sights and the sounds, you go back again. Each time you feel, again, very, very bad. And you ask the Lord to forgive. And you confess your sins. And how to get out of this kind of a situation? Well, the more I my experience was, the more I studied the Bible, keep my personal, right, devotions, quiet time, you know, and I studied the Bible diligently, attend Sunday school, Bible study, prayer meetings, right, fellowship meetings, right, church services, I became active, more and more active in the church, right, more and more attentive to the scriptures. I found that, you know, the desire to go back to the cinema became less and less, right, became less and less, became dimmer. The things of the world became dimmer and dimmer. And the things of God became brighter and brighter. So much so that, you know, eventually the desire, right, to go, you know, disappeared. So that's the sanctifying influence, the sanctifying effect of God's word in your life. And the more you study God's word faithfully, prayerfully, diligently, you're like going through a washing machine. God's word is like a washing machine. It will clean you inside out. And then the dirty things, the bad things, you have no more desire for them. You want the good things, the clean things. God's word has this sanctifying, cleansing, right, effect on us. So that's why it's good. You have such a camp where God's word is studied and focused. Right? And daily in your life, you keep your quiet time, your RPG is good. Right? And whenever you're free, have your Bible with you, read the scriptures. Go for Sunday school, attend Bible study, go for the night classes. I mean, get yourself really enriched by God's word. And whether, you know, consciously or unconsciously, it will have a good benefit. Right? It will benefit your life. God's word is powerful. It will start working. Right? Sometimes even without you knowing, it is working. So please know this. No, you're not of the world. So how to keep yourself away from the world? Sanctify, be sanctified by God's truth. Right? Sanctify them by thy truth, or through thy truth, thy word is truth. So where in other parts of the New Testament we find separation being taught? Well, I'll give you a list of verses. Tomorrow we'll consider some more, two classic proof texts, one in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, which the first verse you have memorized, another one in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, right, tomorrow. Separation from outsiders, insiders. Who are the outsiders? Who are the insiders? Right? We'll consider these two passages in detail tomorrow. But there are many passages in the Bible that talk about separation, and many of them are found in the epistles. So let's look at now Romans chapter 12. Excuse me. Romans chapter 12. Okay, let's read together these two verses. Important. Together, these two verses. Some of you may have already memorized these two verses, right? These are very well-known verses, important verses for Christian living. Together, let's read Romans 12, verse 1 and 2. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Right? I beseech you, therefore, brethren, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice. And you know that a lamb in the Old Testament that is offered as a sacrifice to God must be what? Must be without spot, without blemish. Clean animal. So if we want to be living sacrifices unto God, God doesn't want dead sacrifices. He wants living sacrifices. You and me, to offer ourselves to Him. And to be acceptable, we must be clean. Right? Clean. Of course, we are cleansed already by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Right? Sanctified. But we must keep on being sanctified not just positionally, but progressively, right? They are daily being cleansed. Just like Jesus told Peter, when Jesus wanted to wash the feet of Peter, Peter says, oh, wash my whole body then. The Lord says, no need, you're already clean. But your feet, right? The daily walking out, and then you get yourselves dirtied, needs daily cleansing, only your feet. So, yes, we may be saved, sanctified, cleansed by the blood of Jesus, right? Children of God, saved, but then daily in our lives, right? In and out, sometimes we think wrong things, we feel wrong things, we do wrong things. We need daily cleansing. Through God's word, right? Through confessing our sins, and then again, daily application of the blood of Christ to wash us. So the Lord will do that. So daily cleansing. So living sacrifices. Make sure we are daily cleansed, right? So that we might be living sacrifices unto God, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. You want to be used by God? You want to serve the Lord? You must be clean. Just like a cup or glass. You want to use to drink water from this cup, and you make sure what? It is clean first. If it's not clean, you're not going to use it. So you want to wash it, and then you pour your juice or your water you drink. A dirty cup you will not use. So similarly, if we want God to use us, we want to serve the Lord, then we must make sure, right? Our vessel, our body, our mind, our heart, is clean. When it gets dirty, make sure it's clean again, right? It's cleansed, then you can use it. So, living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And how to do this? Verse 2, be not conformed. Be not conformed to this world. Don't be like this world. We are in this world, but not of this world. So don't be conformed to this world. Don't follow the ways of this world, the fashions of this world, the trends of this world, the behavior, the habits of this world. Sometimes, you know, if the world starts to wear mini skirts, and you also wear mini skirts. No, you make sure there's a standard of dressing God has given to us. Dress modestly. Right? Covered up and simply, not with all your gold, silver, or jewelry, and things like this, braided hair, all these things. Well, just appreciate what God has given to you and how God made you to be, to look like. Thank God for everything. He's good. Right? Don't follow the ways of the world. And even sometimes, you know, the language of the world. And the actions of the world. Nowadays, you know, in this Western culture, they have certain actions, hip-hop signs and symbols, you know. I can't remember this term they use for it, where they have, some action like this, you know, and things like this, and then everyone starts practicing, you know, you know what I'm talking about? Some of you know, right? And then Christians also start following, you know, this way, as if it's very cool, you know. No, you don't want to follow the ways of the world, the things of the world. What else? You know, I'm really out of touch. But I think you know what I mean. The fads that come and go. And they come from also, they are produced by people from who have a very loose moral background, loose behavior. So don't be conformed to this world, right? But be transformed. Transformed means here you change. You know, the word transform here is the word metamorphosis. You know the meaning of the word metamorphosis? You study biology, or you study geography, you will know this, and you study about insects, how an ugly caterpillar is transformed into a beautiful butterfly, stages to that transformation. Right? There's the word metamorphosis here, right, in the original, in the Greek. So we must be transformed, something very ugly, to become something very beautiful. And of course, God does it through His Word and His Spirit, and become more and more like Christ. So transform. You look less and less like the devil, more and more like Christ. Okay? Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. It involves the mind. The mind that must be controlled and full of God's Word. They may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So separation over here, very clear. And then chapter 16, Romans chapter 16, verse 17. Chapter 16, verse 17, let us read together. Verse 17. Now, I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them. And avoid them, right? So, fellow believers, Paul says, mark. Mark means you mark out, you single out, you identify. Just like in the army, some of you are in army fatigue, right? Camouflage t-shirts. Are you all in national service yet? Have you all finished? Or waiting to go in? Already in? How many are you already in right now?
Sure.
Huh? Not yet?
Oh, secondary
school. Okay, but you're getting ready. Yeah, young men, you'll be in soon, and when you're in, you'll be wearing all this army camouflage uniforms. Looks quite masculine, right? But take note, it says here, and in the army, you don't do things that are according to the law or to the rules set for you. You try to sky. Trying to jiazua his snake, you know. That means you're trying to skip and, right? You're trying to be lazy, not to work hard, things like that. You'll be marked. Marked when you say, when they say you are marked, you're gonna mark, that means, you know, you're singled out, and then for extra duty or for more training or things like this, for punishment. You don't want to be marked out, right? But you want to mark out those, mark them which cause divisions, right? Those who are troublemakers in the church, avoid them, single them out. And they are troublemakers, they cause divisions and offenses which are against God's word, right? Contrary to the doctrine which you have learned. Avoid them. Avoid that separation. Don't have nothing to do with them. Leave them be. Leave them alone. Okay? Avoid them. So there's separation here. But those who are good and godly, those who will promote your spiritual health, right, your spiritual life, they encourage you, they pray for you, right, they are a good influence in your life, then be close to them. Befriend them. Those who will cause you to doubt God and His Word, will cause you to live in an ungodly way, right? And in church, they will criticize, you know, the pastor is doing his best preaching, teaching God's Word. And then they always complain, they have some criticism. And then they find fault. When there's no fault, they also want to find fault. And it causes divisions and offenses contrary to the scriptures. They teach also something different. Then you avoid them, right? Stay away from them. hate separation over here. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 33. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 33. Now let's read together this verse. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 33. Be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. Right? Evil communications. Communications, right? Speak of conversation. Speak of dialogue. So evil communications, evil company. Be careful the kind of friends you have. You know, friends, when friends are together in a company, they communicate, right? They like to talk with one another. But if the communication, your company is a bad company, and the communication is bad communication, you gather together, you talk about how to do bad things, and then you crack dirty jokes, right? And make fun of others or try to bully others and things like this. And this is not just physical. Nowadays you have virtual communities and communication through your Facebook or WhatsApp or chat group, whatever you have. So a lot of unholy talk. Evil speaking. Now be careful what kind of groups you join, what kind of company you keep, what kind of communications you have, right, with these people. You join them, wrong group, bad company, with bad communication, it will corrupt your good morals. Right? What you have learned in church, the good things you learn in church, the good things you learn from God's word in your personal devotions, the good things you learn maybe in camp or in Sunday school, you become corrupted. Means you forget them. You set them aside. And then these things influence you more and more. And then it corrupts you. So for instance, you know, a basket of good apples. If you put a rotten apple into a basket of good apples, will the good apples make the rotten apple good? Or the rotten apple will make the good apples all become rotten. See, there's a worm inside it, the rotten apple. Oh, you know, right, the answer. The rotten apple will make the good apples all turn what? Bad. Infected with all the worms. The good apples will not turn the rotten apple good. That's against the law of nature. Well, this principle applies here. You get yourself close, right, to bad company, you join them, you will turn bad. You will not make them become good. Right? They are bad and you may be good. The bad will corrupt the good and you become bad. So right, there's a very important principle over here in verse 33. Be not deceived. Right? Evil communications corrupt good manners. So what kind of friends do you have? I'm not saying that you cannot have, you know, in school you cannot have friends who are unbelievers. You're in the world, not to be off the world. Doesn't mean you cannot talk to your classmates who are unbelievers, or you cannot eat with them, or even, you know, play games or sports with them. You have this kind of interaction with them. But make sure, what kind of interaction is it? Do you interact with them, you know, in such a way that you are having fellowship with them? That means you share values with them. Their bad values is transferred to you also. And then you think alike, you feel alike, and you want to be like them also, to fit in. Become your close friends, then it will happen, right? You'll be changed by them. So you must keep a distance. Yes, you may be with them, you may be in their midst, right? Your classmate, you may be with them, you have to speak to them, you have to talk to them, you have to do things together with them, but you know where to draw the line. You can have friends, but I don't think you can have really close friends, really, really close friends with unbelievers who have different moral values, right? Who are worldly in their ways. You ought to have your close friends should be those in the church, right? Your fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. You have fellowship with them, real fellowship. And when you have good communion with them, then yeah, you will help one another to grow in your faith. Grow in your life spiritually and not be corrupted. So bad company corrupt good morals, right? Evil communications corrupt good manners. Right, next one, Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. Verse 11. Together, let's read verse 11, Ephesians 5, 11. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. Right? Have no fellowship with unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. Reprove means to expose them, right? Show that, to show why they are wrong, why they are bad and no good, and warn others of them as well. So have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them, expose them, and show them why, right? They are not good, they are bad, and have nothing to do with them. All right, turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Now, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Verse 22. Well, verse 21 and 22. Let us read together. Verse 21 and 22. Prove all things, hold fast that which is good, abstain from all appearance of evil. I abstain from all appearance of evil. Separation over here. 1 Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy 6, 3 to 5. First Timothy chapter 6, verse 3 to verse 5. Let's read together these verses. Got it? First Timothy 6, verse 3 to verse 5. Reading. If any man teach otherwise and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness, he is proud, knowing nothing, but doting about questions and strifes of words, whereof cometh envy, strife, railings, evil surmisings, perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds, and destitute of truth, supposing that gain is godliness. From such, withdraw thyself. All right? Withdraw yourself from those who teach bad doctrines, false doctrines, who don't teach wholesome words. What are the wholesome words? Wholesome words are words of God, but rather teach you unwholesome words, a lot of philosophy, worldly human philosophy, or psychology, human wisdom. Make sure you stay clear of them, and then they try to cause you to doubt God and His Word. Pose to you certain questions that make you confused. For instance, can God, if you say God is almighty, all powerful, then can God make a rock so big, so huge, that he cannot carry? Cannot. God is all powerful, right? Can do all things, right? So can he make a rock very, so huge that he cannot carry? Cannot. If you say God cannot make a rock so big that he cannot carry, that means what? Then they'll say, yeah, then your God is not all powerful. There are certain things he cannot do. Then, okay? Yeah. So you, what do you say? Yeah, I agree with you. God cannot make the rock so big that he cannot carry. Therefore, he's not all powerful, right? But you say, yes, he can make a rock so big that even he himself cannot carry them. Again, either way you answer yes or no, God is not all powerful. You see? Are you confused already? So how do you answer? There are some people like this, right? Unwholesome words. And then they come up with questions, doting about questions, seeking to trouble you and to cause you to doubt God. So how to respond? Of course, one way you know that these are the people, you stay clear from them. But you yourself must know how to answer, right? With the wisdom of God. So if someone poses such a question to you, how would you answer? I would answer this way. God is not so foolish or stupid like you to make a rock so big that he cannot carry. God is very wise. Why would he do something like this? You know, that to the extent that he cannot carry. God is not so stupid. God is very wise. And he is true to his nature. He is wisdom. He doesn't do stupid things like us. So just reply to this. But if you know there are these people who are proud, knowing nothing, and then they like to ask a lot of questions to stir up doubt and hatred and bad feelings and questioning God and things like this, then what? Stay clear of them. Withdraw yourself from them. Don't entertain them. Right? Don't waste your time, in other words. So that is very clear. Right? And then look at 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 16 to 21. 2 Timothy chapter 2, 16 to 21. Let's read responsively this passage. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 16 to 21. Responsively. All right, let me begin. But shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. Verse 17.
And the world will need as that of anger, of whom is humiliness and violence.
Who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already, and overthrow the faith of some.
Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth of them that are his, and let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity.
But in the great house there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel of honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. All right? So a lot of words of separation here. Shun, right? Shun. Shun. Profane and vain babbling. Keep away, all right? From these things. And then it says here, let everyone, verse 19, let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Depart. Now that's separation. And then verse 21, if a man therefore purge himself from these, right? A purge, the purging, the cleansing, the washing. Now that's separation too. So the three verses here in this passage on separation, separation from those who teach false doctrines. Right. From heretics like Hymenaeus and Philetus who deny the resurrection. So if you name the name of Christ, you are a believer, depart from iniquity, okay, and purge, make yourselves clean, then God will use you. Okay. And also verse 22, this is very important. Also separation over here, verse 22. Let's read together verse 22. Flee also youthful lusts, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace with them that call on the Lord out of pure heart. Right? Flee also youthful lusts. Pornography, for instance. It's very, very dangerous, addictive, and will lead to very, very destructive behavior. You may end up in jail. Nowadays, you know, more and more peeping toms, right? Videoing or trying to take photos of those in the toilet or in the washrooms and all that. Upskirt videos, all this. All begin with what? All begin with pornography. Internet now, so easy, click of a button, you can see all these evil and bad, filthy things. Influence your mind, influence your heart, and then you want to put all these things into practice. There was also one FEBC student like this. During the holidays, he was taking pictures, upskirt, right, with a camera, because of caught. He's a foreigner, not Singaporean. He went to jail, and of course, after he was released, deported. Imagine, even Bible college students can fall. Yes, even pastors can fall into this kind of a sin. How much more you people, young people, youthful lusts will grip you, and it will destroy you. So really, what, keep clear. Flee. And the flee here means run quickly, far away from these things. And don't just run and stop. You know, the word here is in the original, it's in the present tense. The command is keep on running, don't stop. Running far away, as far as you can, from all these things, from youthful lusts. Pornography nowadays is a real danger. Run far away, right, from all these things. And follow what? Righteousness, faith, charity, peace. With them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. So your coming here is good, and you're following after charity, good things, learning good doctrines, right? Doctrine of separation. Learning good things, praying together, having fellowship together, things like this, right? With them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart, sincere believers. So do this more and more, right? Don't indulge in youthful lusts. Flee, run far away from all these things and keep running. Titus chapter 3, verse 10. Let's read together, verse 10. A man that is an heretic, after the first and second admonition, reject. A heretic is someone who teaches a doctrine that tears you away from God, that tears you away from Christ, that tears you away from God's word. Or a doctrine that causes you to have a lower view of God, a lower view of the Lord Jesus, a lower view of Scripture. The Bible is not 100%, it's only 99%. We've got some mistakes here, some mistakes there. Or Jesus is not 100% God. Things like this. Heretic. Well, try to correct him after the first, at most second admonition. But if he doesn't listen, reject, right? Reject him. So that's separation. 1 Peter chapter 1. First Peter chapter 1, verse 14 to 16. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 14 to verse 16. Let us read together these three verses, 14 to 16. Got it? All right, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 14, 15 to 16. Together. as obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, be holy, for I am holy. Right, remember, be holy, for I am holy, in the Leviticus chapter 20. Why? Because I have severed you from other nations, from other people, that you should be mine. Right? So, make sure. Don't fashion yourself. Be obedient children. Don't fashion yourselves according to the former lust in your ignorance. Right? Don't, take off the old clothes. Put on the new man. The old man is no more. Put on the new man. And then, as he who hath called you is holy, so be also holy in all manner of conversation, your conduct, right, manner of life. Be holy as I am holy. And then finally, right, last one here, Second John 7-11. 2 John, verse 7 to verse 11. Let me read for you this one. 2 John 7-11 says here, for many deceivers are entered into the world, who confess not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist, right? The false teacher of the gospel, the false teacher of the doctrine of Christ. In those days, there are those who say Jesus is not 100% man. Well, if Jesus is not 100% man, then he cannot represent us, he cannot be our substitute. He could not have died on the cross if he was not man. And that means we have no savior, no gospel. There are these heretics. So, he's a deceiver and an antichrist. Look to yourselves that we lose not those things which we have wrought, but that we have received a full reward. Whosoever transgresses and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ, you must believe Jesus, what? Fully God and fully man. A very special, unique. Jesus is so special. He's 100% God, 100% man in one person. And then he's the only Savior. He died on the cross for our sins, rose from the dead. So if anyone denies or rejects any part of the doctrine of Christ, he hath not God, right? Not the believer. He may claim to be a believer, but actually he's not. Right? He's a false believer, a false teacher. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, and you believe Jesus, fully God, fully man, in one person, 100%. And he's my 100% Savior. He suffered and died for my sins. He's sinless. He's without spot and blemish. He died on the cross for my sins, shed his precious blood. His blood washes away all my sins, cleanses me from all unrighteousness. And then he was buried, he truly died. But he proved that he is God by being raised from the dead on the third day. He's living today. The way, the truth, and the life. All right, you believe all these things. All the things that the Bible teaches you about the Lord Jesus Christ. You are in a good place. Right? But there are those who deny any part. They may not deny all, but you deny one part, you deny all. So there are those who abideth not. Is not of God. But he that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, all of it, he hath both the Father and the Son. In other words, you belong to the Lord. Right? And you are saved. And you will be kept by God forever. So if any come unto you, if there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine, and teach something that is different, not according to the scriptures, receive him not into your house. Don't even, right, let him enter into your house. He may come knocking. Don't even allow him to come in. And then when they leave, don't even say goodbye. Right? Godspeed. For he that biddeth him, Godspeed. God bless you. Right? God help you. It's a partaker of his evil deeds. You become a participant of falsehood. Don't invite them. Don't entertain them. Don't invite them to your house. When they leave, don't even say goodbye. Right? Just close the door. Don't say anything. Or maybe you can say, you better watch out what you say. God will judge you. Maybe you can say something like this. don't be a partaker of evil deeds by pronouncing a blessing. Just leave them be. Right? So take note of these things. Well, separation is taught in the Bible very clearly. I pray we take heed to all these things. I just gave you a good number of verses, but actually there are a whole lot more verses and passages. But I hope these are enough to get you well grounded of this truth. It's a good doctrine and is also a command, not a choice, something all of us must do. It's a command of God. It's not an option. So not multiple choice over here. I can choose whether I want to obey or not. We must all believe and obey this truth. Then it will be good for us. It's for our own good. So may the Lord help us to know, understand, and believe and obey this. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank thee for this truth that thou hast given to us. I pray, O Lord, for all these precious young people whom thou hast called and saved, that you will protect them from the evil one, from the things of this world. And I pray, O Lord, they will imbibe this good doctrine of separation, apply in their lives, grant them the grace, the strength, and the wisdom to do so, so that they might be a good testimony for thee and also a clean vessel for thy use. So please protect all our youth, our young people. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.